Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, indeed, it's good to be in your house this morning with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to see the smiling faces as they walk through the door this morning, excited to be here. And Father, we recognize as we're here that there is no one like you. And as we enter into this time of our service, we would just pray for your Spirit to fall on our congregation and in this house. And Father, I pray for my pastor this morning as he prepares to open your word to us. I pray that you would empower him, Father. Help him to preach without hesitation. Give him the words to speak. And Father, this morning, as we hear the word, help us to have ears to hear, hearts and minds to receive the word, and Father, to not only receive it, but to put it in action this very day. Again, Father, we praise you for who you are. There is truly no one like you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can y'all hear me? All right. We're going to start off in Numbers 32, but for the rest of the morning, we're going to be in Joshua 14. So if you have a Bible with you, and I do pray that you have a Bible, I'm old school. I believe in bringing a Bible to worship. And if you didn't bring one, steal one, okay? We've got a bunch of Bibles right back here if you'd like to have one. But I promise you, you'll get more out of the service, the preaching service, if you'll have a Bible in front of you. I promise you that. I promise you. Not fussing at anybody. Just want y'all to get all you can get from Jesus today. Amen? All right, let's all rise as we honor the reading of God's Word. We're going to start off in Numbers 32. And tell you what, I'm going to start up there at verse 11. Numbers 32, verse 11. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Numbers 32, 11. Surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Now that's a huge statement right there. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Now watch this, listen to this, don't miss this, for they have wholly followed the Lord. God, would you teach us this morning how to follow you with all of our heart? Help us, Lord, to understand this great, great truth, to follow after you with all of our heart. In Jesus' sweet name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Now, for the rest of the morning, we'll probably be in, we will be over in Joshua 14. And I know what day this is. It's Father's Day. And by the way, you need to stay. Brother Mike Rainey has a great announcement for the men today after worship. So don't run out the back door. Listen to the announcements. We got something special for the men. Amen? Look at your wife and say, I'm tired of you getting a rose every Mother's Day and I don't get anything on Father's Day. All right. So we got something for the guys today. You'll hear more about that. It's Father's Day and I'm so thankful for the men that have poured into my life and influenced me and impacted me to live a godly life. And, you know, I don't know where I'd be without those guys in my life. And many of you have had a godly man in your life. I'm sitting here looking at Bruce, and I'm thinking about CW. You know, God just puts men in our lives when we need them. And they impact us and influence us. And if you didn't have a godly man at home, I'm going to make you another promise today. When you leave here, you're going to be able to be a godly man, so godly that you can impact and influence your home, your community, and your church. Okay? That's what God wants to do this morning. I want to tell you, the Lord's looking for a few heroes today. There's a man in your Bible by the name of Caleb. And we're going to look at the life of Caleb this morning. He was one of the 12 spies. Israel, the nation of Israel, had crossed the Jordan River. And they had come into the promised land. And on the edge of the promised land. And Moses had sent 12 spies on a reconnaissance mission to see how they could best possess and take the land. And so they were there for 40 days. And after 40 days, they brought a report back to the people of God. And you remember, Caleb and Joshua both said, "Oh, man, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's everything God said it would be. It's a land of abundance. It's a land of blessing. And bless God, He has given it to us, and we can take it by faith." But the Cold Water Committee, 10 of the spies said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. God said it, and it is. It's a land full, flowing with milk and honey. It's a land full of abundance. But, oh my goodness, all the cities have these huge fortified walls and huge gates. And worse than that, they've got giants in the land. And we'd be better off going back to Egypt. There's no way we can take this land." And because of their disobedience and their rebellion, they spent the next 40 years wandering around in the Sinai Desert with no purpose, no meaning, and no abundance of living. Because of disobedience. Because of rebelling against God. And I want to tell you, I just want to be honest with you, I see a lot of wilderness believers today. A lot of wilderness Christians. And it's not supposed to be like that. God, Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and might have it how?" That's right, abundantly. And so we're going to take a look at these two men, but specifically Caleb. Now, God had promised Caleb that He was going to give him as an inheritance Hebron, and the surrounding hill country. Because he had wholly followed God with all of his heart. He had followed God with his whole heart. And we're going to learn how to do that this morning. What does that mean to follow after God with your whole heart? What does that look like? How do you get there? Well, I want to give you four quick answers to that. Four quick things. If you're taking notes, you ought to write these down. If you're not, get them in your head, get them in your heart, whatever you got to do. But a man, or you could say, now these principles apply to you too, girls. There's one girl here. Praise God. All right. So, but it's Father's Day, so we're going to use the male term here, okay? A man who follows God with his whole heart, first of all, relies on the promises of God. He relies on the promises of God. Now look at chapter 14, look at verse 6. We're in Joshua. Joshua 14, verse 6. "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God.' So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, Why? Because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. A man or a woman who follows God with his whole heart relies on the promises of God. I mean, it was time now to distribute. Joshua had led the children of Israel. We're 45 years later now, and they're in Canaan land, and they'd possessed the cities and all. And so it's time to parcel out the property to all the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now we're up to snuff. Are y'all with me? Y'all get the setting here for this? And so Joshua is doling out the inheritances to all the 12 tribes of the land now. And so 45 years ago, God, through the prophet and through the great deliverer, the emancipator Moses, had made a promise to Caleb that he would be able to inherit the land of Hebron and the surrounding hill country. That's evidently where he spent a lot of his reconnaissance mission. And so Caleb, when they had come back with their report, he begged the children of God. He begged them not to rebel against God. And he tried to encourage them, and he told them that the Lord was with them and they didn't have anything to fear. And for all his troubles, his Israelite brothers and sisters wanted to stone him. You can read about it over there in Numbers. But you know, what Caleb did was simply what we ought to do today. He just believed God. He claimed and clung to that promise that God had given him 45 years ago. And I want to tell you, whenever God speaks and he tells you something, you can take it to the bank. It is time that the church began to believe the promises of God. And that's exactly what Joshua and Caleb did. They believed God. And that's exactly what many of us need to do here today. If God has said it, it's good as gold. There are some promises that ran across my... Hebrews 13:5 simply says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. We just need to believe God. John chapter 8 verse 32 says, and I love this, you shall know the truth and the truth will do what? Set you free. This is the year of getting free in 23. You need to claim that promise of freedom today. And John chapter 11 verse 25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. We need to claim that promise today. And Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. When are we going to believe God? When are we going to believe the promises of God? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. Not a few things, not some things, all things through Christ who strengthens me. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you shall be careful to do according to all that's written in it, so then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. We need to believe God. I think verse 9 says, therefore be and courageous. Isn't that what it says? And be not afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We need to believe God. Here's another one. I like this one. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Some of y'all need deliverance, and I thought you'd have a running spell when you heard that today. Bless God. When are we, church, when are we going to just believe God? When are we going to say, I rely on the promises of God? So anyone who wants to follow God with their whole heart, you got to get to the point where I'm just going to believe God. Whatever he said, that's it for me. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, believe God. All right, here's the second thing. If you want to follow God with your whole heart, you not only need to rely on the promises of God, you need to rest in the principles of God. Look at verse 10. and now. Behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. How old's Caleb now? He's 85 years old. We got anybody that's 85 in here? Come on, it's okay. Be proud of it if you're 85. One, all right? Hallelujah. And I want to tell you what, she's still just as feisty as when she was 45. Amen? And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, Caleb says, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. How did Caleb endure 40 years of wandering in the wilderness when he knew God had promised him a great inheritance? How did he do that? For 45 years. He had to wait on that inheritance, that promise from God. Well, you know what I believe Caleb did every day, every morning when he came out of his tent? I know I'm a little strange, but I believe he walked out of his tent every morning and said, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm going to serve you today with everything I've got. That right there, brothers and sisters, is the decision that needs to be made. Numbers 24, watch this. Numbers 14, 24, you don't have to go there, says he had a different spirit. Caleb had a different spirit. Doesn't mean he was goofy. Doesn't mean he was strange. It just means that he had some principles in his life that most of those other so-called believers didn't have. The spirit that I believe Caleb possessed contained the principles of faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us about those, and the greatest of these is, that's right, y'all got it. Caleb, by faith, knew that God had given him a great inheritance. And he knew that his hope rested solidly in the Word of God. And he continued to love God and to serve God with all of his heart, soul, and strength. He lived by those principles. Caleb was all in. I don't know who I'm talking to here. But this is great. I can really wander about now. I was like a dog on a leash over here, you know. I don't know who I'm talking to here, but aren't you tired of playing games with God? Aren't you? When are you going to go all in for Him? None of this half-hearted, watered down, half-committed, none of this, I can't stand that kind of stuff. If I ain't going to get in with all my heart, I'm not going there. It's time for us to be all in, church. Faith, hope, and love. And by the way, when you rest on the principles of God, God will bless your life. He's 85 years old. And he's just as strong then as he was back when he was 40. Now, I'm not going to tell you today, if you'll go all in with God, that you'll be like a teenager again. But I won't tell you what. If you'll rest on the principles of faith, hope, and love, and you'll love and serve God with all of your heart, He will bless your life. He'll bless you. Look at your neighbor and say, don't you want to be blessed? Now look at your neighbor and say, let's get all in. Hallelujah. All right. And by the way, if you'll rest on these principles and apply them to your life, you may not have an easier life, but you will have a blessed life. Here's the third thing, and it's right out of the text. Anybody who wants to serve and follow God with their whole heart, you rely on the promises of God, you rest in the principles of God, and you rejoice in the power of God. Say power with me. Ooh, I like that word. Look at verse 12. Ooh, man. Now, therefore. Anytime you come across the word therefore in your Bible, ask this question. What is therefore there for? Oh, I've really thrown a curveball to some of you. There's a reason therefore is there. Give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim, those were the giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. And in the Hebrew language, y'all, it also means since. It can mean since. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. You know what Caleb basically telling Joshua? Hey, my brother, I'm ready to climb mountains and conquer giants. I might be 85, but I hadn't lost a thing. Not out there in that wilderness. We're in the promised land, and I'm ready to go take that mountain for God, and I'm ready to slay those giants. How did he know that? Because he knew that he had the power of God working in his life. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got power in your life. You have resurrection power. We talked about this over and over and over again. Now, Hebron, I believe is the way you pronounce it, Hebron and the surrounding hill, they did have these huge fortified cities. They had these massive walls around the cities, and they had these huge gates that were hung. And the Anakim, y'all remember David had a big heavyweight championship encounter with a man by the name of Goliath, and Goliath had some brothers. Do you know that? They were giants. The Anakim were probably descendants of those giants. And there were still giants in the land. But do you think that messed with Caleb? No. Because he knew that he had the power of, he not only had the promise of God and the principles of God that he was living his life by, he had the power of God that was available. And friend, I want to tell you, You may think that you're the lowest on the totem pole, that you're the run of the litter. No, you've got the power of Almighty God. And you can do anything. You can do anything through Christ. There's that verse again. And by the way, as long as you're here, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. As long as you're breathing, He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. And by the way, you're never too old to accomplish a great work for God. You're never too old to accomplish a great work for God. You know what I read this week? Some of the greatest accomplishments in American history came from men and women in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I don't want to just leave the young people out. Young person, you can accomplish a great work for God. Man, what a blessing it is to see a young child give their heart to Jesus Christ at a young age and begin following Him at a young age. And God's got some young people in our... Michael. Boy, he jumped up then. You know when I feel like God told me He was going to use you? It was when you were up here last Christmas at the auction and you said, God gave me this gig. Were y'all not here for that? Yeah. He's going to use you. He's going to, you're going to do great and mighty things. I'm prophesying over you. He's going to do great and mighty things through you, young man. Hallelujah. And there are many others of you here. Allison, I read your card this morning. I read two or three cards this morning. And the card that you wrote to me for about, it's been about two or three months ago, I think. And you thanked me for believing in you and believing that you had Jesus so that you could go ahead and be baptized. You remember that card you wrote me? Well, I'm going to tell you something, sister. Baptism was just the beginning. He's going to use you in a great way. I don't know what he's going to do. So we can accomplish great and mighty things that we don't know any. Is there any heroes in the house this morning? Come on. We can rejoice in the power of God. He'll give you the power to overcome your mountains and your giants. Woo! I've been chewing on this all week. So y'all got to forgive me. I'm a little emotional today. Here's the last one. If you want to follow God with your whole heart, you not only rely on His promises and rest in His principles and rejoice in His power, but you're going to receive the provision of God. Look at verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. Why? Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. That's the giants. Then the land had rest from the war. Yeah, Caleb was able to climb those mountains and conquer those giants. He received his inheritance. God provided for Caleb in a great way. Why? Because he followed God with his whole heart. And because, listen to this. I don't have time to get into all this. But because of Caleb's great courage and faith, he impacted and influenced a lot of young people. There's a man in your Bible there in verse 15, chapter 15, another place. A young man by the name of Othniel. Say that word with me. Say that name with me. Othniel. And Othniel won a great victory for God in the hill country. So much so that he became Caleb's son-in-law. And by the way, when you start reading in the book of Judges, guess who one of the judges of Israel became? Othniel. And down there in chapter 15, Caleb had a daughter. How many daughters we got in the house? I know it's Father's Day. We got two daughters. You remember, guys, I'm all in. And if somebody asks me to raise my hand, I ain't doing this. Help us, Jesus. All right. Now, Othniel won a great victory for God. And then his wife, Caleb's daughter, said, "Daddy, would you give me one of them fields up there in the hill country? And by the way, I need some water to irrigate the land that we've inherited." And you know what God did? Because Caleb was a man who followed after God's own heart. God blessed the land, the home, the possessions, the family, the security. Everything that Caleb was a part of, God blessed it. Why? Because he wholly followed after God. He was passionate about God. If you were around Caleb for just 2 seconds, you started hearing about the Lord God. Whew. I love to hang out with people like that. Some of y'all would be embarrassed to death to go in a restaurant with somebody like that. But I like hanging out with people like that because you know what they do? They charge my battery. Let me just close with this story. And it's true. There was a Spanish explorer back in the early 1500s by the name of Hernando Cortez. And he was a great explorer and a great warrior and general in the Spanish army. And on April the 21st of 1519, he sailed up into the harbor of Veracruz, Mexico with 11 boats and about 600 men. And they were there to claim Mexico for Spain. But he had an unbelievable enemy by the name of Montezuma. And at that time, the Aztecs reigned and ruled in Mexico. And so he's there to claim Mexico for the glory of Spain. And so his men got out of the 11 ships in little bitty boats and all sailed up there to the banks and got out, and they began to unload their supplies and get ready to go forward. And then Hernando told his soldiers and his men to turn around. And what did they see in the harbor? All 11 ships were being burned. And they sink. As his men stood there on the banks of the harbor watching the boats burn, Cortez said, "Men, we are going forward for the glory of Spain to conquer Mexico, and we may die in the process, but there's one thing for sure. There is no retreat, and we are not going back." And that speaks volumes to my heart spiritually this morning. We're going to go forward, Second Mile, for the glory of God. We're going to do what He's called us to do. And I want to tell you, we will never retreat and we will never go back. We're all in. And if you don't want to be all in, that ain't my fault. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm here today and I'm believing that God is raising up some heroes, some men and women, some young men and young women who are ready to say, "God, I'm all in. I'm going forward for your honor and praise and glory, whatever that looks like." And I want to tell you, you don't have to wait for your pastor to tell you what to do. Just do what God's telling you to do. He'll tell you what to do. You start following Him with your whole heart, and you'll have so much to do. Woo! I've got so much more I could say this morning. But I want to just say this. We live in a city that is lost. Amen. This city is dark, spiritually dark. And we live in a nation that is as lost as a golf ball in high weeds. And we live in a world that does not know Jesus. And God's looking at us. Amen. He is looking at us. Yes, to take the gospel to every end of the earth. Amen. And bless God, that includes going across the street or next door. Are we going to do what God wants us to do? Are we going to be all in? That's been my prayer this week. That God would raise up some Calebs and Joshuas for His praise and His honor and His glory. Let's pray. Father, there is no one like You. And I am living proof that God will use anybody. I'm nobody special. I sure don't deserve to be up here doing what I'm doing this morning. But I want to thank You, God, that You haven't thrown me on the backside of the desert or put me on the back burner. And I want to use everything that I've got, Lord, to bring honor and glory to Your name until You come get me. And I believe there's dozens of others like that in this church. And so, God, may this be a defining moment in the life of Second Mile Church. May this be a defining moment. There's so much talent and abilities and spiritual giftedness in this place right now. Oh my goodness. Lord, we could do anything that You've called us to. We can accomplish great and mighty things for God. And I know I'm not the only one that wants to hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your salvation and your inheritance." Oh God, do a work in us. If you're here this morning and you're tired and worn down, and you want what we've been talking about today. You want to finish well, or maybe you just want to begin following God with your whole heart. I want to ask just to come. Now, we don't have carpet on these steps yet, but we will. And just make that commitment between you and the Lord today. Yeah, you can do it there in your seat, but then nobody knows about it. And you'll slip right back into the mode that you're in right now. So Andrew, in just a moment, is going to lead us in an invitational hymn, a hymn of response. If you really want what we've been taught, don't you do this if you're not willing. If you really want to be all in and become a man or a woman of obedience and following God with your whole heart, I want you to just come to this altar and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm yours." Father, bless us now in this time of decision. Give us the courage to be and do what you're calling us to be and do. In your powerful name, we ask it. Amen. Quietly stand to your feet. You just come. Andrew, lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.